knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about Hard Boys TV.
He might if you twist his arm.
Yep. He's and I have a feeling this could be the week for it.
Oh, because Jimmy Mack is here?
Yep.
Yeah, no porn talk, Jim, please.
That's a great theme. Who did that? Do we know?
That was our former
Jason Skaggs
production guy.
That was Jason.
Yes.
That's
who's
brilliant.
In Texas right now.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So, Dean, how
Jimmy
are
says
things?
That like he's shocked. Like, Jason did something
no,
good.
No, Dean. Jason is very talented, and I'm not surprised at all.
I like my spin better.
Yeah. We had a death in the news. Steve Bertrand reported that Max Wright, the father from Alf, has passed away.
Right.
And I was not a big Alf fan.
Neither was I.
Our youngest son, Dylan, has been binge-watching it lately. He's going to be devastated when he wakes up.
He likes it?
He loves Alf.
Really?
Buzz Kilman loved Alf, too. He was a big Alf fan.
I think we are a cult of two on this. I think that most people loved it. I thought it was the stupidest show that I had ever seen in my life. No disrespect to Max Wright.
No, but now, when Bertrand reported this death in the news, he was going to wait till Bill came back, because, you know, I don't know.
Oh, this is right in Bill's wheelhouse.
Yeah, and there was a dark time in Max Wright's life. Do you remember this? There was, like, he was dealing with orgies and crack. Do you remember this?
Who hasn't? Who hasn't?
That's just a weekend for Dean.
We call that Thursday.
Oh, God.
But I did not know that.
I found this information. It came out. I guess I shouldn't bring it up because really he's gone now. Why do you rehash
it's a
bad
lovely
stuff?
Obit that you're doing?
Yeah,
so far.
I know. I wonder why no one asked me to speak at their funerals. Max Wright dead at the age of 75. And
now,
also,
do you know that ALF, the name ALF, is an acronym for something else?
Alien life form?
Yes. Yeah, exactly right.
Yes. Isn't that how Alf laughed? That's about all I know. And Billy Drago, I don't remember the Untouchables movie.
He was Nitty, and he got pushed off the rooftop at the end.
Spoiler!
Oh, shoot, sorry.
Alert.
I think enough decades have gone by that it's probably okay.
But he also passed away at the age of 73. That's not old enough, you guys.
Yeah, that's not very... Suddenly, it doesn't seem very old anymore.
No.
The movie was in 1987, which also doesn't seem like that long ago. I'm having a difficulty reconciling that things in the 80s are as long ago as they really were. Because don't they seem like yesterday?
It seems like a few years ago, I got to be honest with you, where I had half my head shaved and my hair spiked up. That
Me
was
too.
The 80s.
Me too.
A lot of leggings.
Me too.
Whenever I have friends in from out of town, they always want to see that stairwell at Union Station where the carriage rolled down.
That's very true.
And that hasn't changed one bit, that stairwell. So as the years pass by, at least the tourist, sightseeing.
Well, what, you expected them to fix it up? I mean, it's beautiful.
Well, I'm just saying. As time marches on.
Yeah, it's very classic. It's kind of cool that, I mean... You know, it's not like, just to interject the Jimmy Mack phrase here, it's not like it's Star Wars. It's the Untouchables, which is a big movie, but not legendary like that, that when people come to town, it's like, take me to Union Station, I have to see that stairwell. I've had that happen, too, where people want to see that stairwell.
Absolutely. It is pretty beautiful. I don't remember that movie at all. And then there was a TV show, The Untouchables. Wasn't Bill Leff on an episode of that, or am I imagining things?
Well, there was the classic show
with Robert
Well, no,
Stack.
Not that. He wasn't on that episode.
He
maybe
would
as
have
a
been
fetus.
A little kid.
Yeah. Yeah, Bill. Yeah, aren't you Bill?
Say.
Yeah, you're Bill Leff, aren't you? Almost said Bill Veck.
You're going back to the 80s again,
he was.
You?
He wasn't there. Speaking of the 80s, you know who we had on the TV morning show today?
Oh,
it was just kooky. Taylor Dane.
Oh, my God. How is she doing?
Taylor Dane. She's fine. She looks good.
Didn't you just have Tiffany on?
We did have. Can you tell we're living in the past?
I'm all for it.
On this show, Tiffany was appearing with New Kids on the Block. They're doing those shows. I think it was at the Allstate Arena. But Taylor Dane is part of this Pride in the Park that'll take part place on Saturday in Grant Park with one of the sister sledges, one of the sisters, with one of the Braxtons, not Tony.
Oh, her sister, who was on a reality show too. Right. She was on Celebrity Big Brother, wasn't
right.
she?
Right, and also Iggy Azalea, which is that's kind of a big deal, that Iggy Azalea. But Taylor Dane was there. And I was like, oh, yeah, back in my DJ days, we, you know, played those like crazy. And I had to go back to look at the very long list of songs that Taylor Dane had, because all I could remember was Tell It to My Heart. But there were like Don't Rush Me, and that's all that I can remember from 2 hours ago.
I got to be honest with you, Dean. You were working at a hit station. I was playing classic rock, man.
Yeah.
So I wasn't all. I was more into Lita Ford than Taylor Dane.
No, I know. It's like whatever stations we were working.
Yeah.
What we remember, but that was, you know, that was my entire wheelhouse of top 40 and adult contemporary.
Yes.
Light rock, as we used to call it.
It was that the light, right? The light.
I was.
Turn
I was,
us on.
Well, no, I was never at the light.
You were at.
I was at Chicago's Light Rock, which now is The Mix.
Oh.
I was there in Fire Radio, the legendary Fire Radio.
WFYR.
WFYR. And then I slept through 3 years of smooth jazz.
At WNUA?
Yeah, right.
Thank you. Do you know a lot about jazz?
Well, yeah.
Well, you learned it.
I did. Yeah, I did learn it. I knew about jazz. I didn't know about the music that they played.
I know Al Di Meola. I don't know other jazz artists, really.
They were playing more of your, like...
David Sanborn?
Kenny G. The smooth jazz is what it was.
Yeah, it was a lot of Kenny G, a lot of... they're nice. They're nice, you know...
To have dinner,
jazz,
too.
Jazz-oriented instrumentals. Because, you know, if you're talking jazz, you should be talking about Miles Davis and, you know, guys like that. And people, you know, people who are real jazz fans wince when you put Kenny G into that category.
Well, the good news is you'll always hit the post because there is no post in an instrumental.
Right.
You should have just talked over the whole song.
The intro on the song is 3.5 minutes long.
Right. The weather today, we're looking at a lot of sunshine.
Let's take a look at that 7-day forecast.
I would have loved it.
And nationally, let's go to airline delays.
Yeah, you should start your own radio station.
Yeah, boy. Be fun.
All right, we have to take a quick break. And then there's a movie that we were talking about yesterday. Harry Tynowitz was sitting in for Bill. It's called Yesterday, and I can't get past the concept of this. So
in a bad way?
I really want to see it because it looks really good, and I know you have to suspend belief in a movie sometimes.
True.
But I just can't believe, like, you wake up one day and no one's heard of the Beatles. It's weird.
Well, you know, there also was no such creature in real life as Jabba the Hutt, but...
What?
Spoiler alert.
Hey, wait a second.
All right, we will take a quick break, and then we are back with Dean Richards, and Jim is in for Bill today. I'm Wendy at 720 WGN. We're talking to Dean Richards now.
We've got Taylor Dane for you now.
I do.
Yeah, 75 degrees outside, sunny with Tell It to My Heart.
I totally do remember this song.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, you got to hear those first few notes of the song.
How's she looking? She's always so attractive.
Yeah, she looks good. She looks fine. You know, she opened for Michael Jackson for the Bad Tour. Not a tour that was bad, but for his album called Bad. She was the opening act for Michael Jackson.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
And Prince. She opened for Prince for a while.
I remember that for some reason.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, so we were talking about this movie. The premise is weird, but it looks like it's going to be really cute. Yesterday.
And it is really cute. And I think very charming and also very thoughtful at the same time. Now, here's the premise. Wendy says that you can't get past... the concept of one day you wake up and the Beatles never existed and no one's ever heard of a Beatles song except you. That's what this premise is. How are you with the movie It's a Wonderful Life, where George Bailey, you know, suddenly cannot, you know, he has to find out what the world would be like if he were not in it. You know, that's kind of how I look at this movie. it's about what it's focused on. This one guy who was a struggling coffee house singer. He's not going anywhere in his career. There is a global power outage. He gets in a bicycle accident, and when he wakes up from all of this, he, you know, gets his guitar and he starts playing the song Yesterday. And somebody goes, what is that song? What is that? That's beautiful. What is that song? He goes, it's Yesterday. Never heard of it. It's the Beatles. Beatles like a bug or Beatles like a car? It's like, what, you know, what they say in the movie. So he, you know, is at this juncture in his life where he has to decide, does, you know, he's a struggling musician. People are loving when he's playing Beatles songs because no one has ever heard these songs before. Does he continue this, you know, in his mind, a false premise? Do I take what really doesn't belong to me and take credit for it? Or do I just, you know, stop doing it and going back to being a struggling musician again? It also poses a question to me in a very clever and creative way, I think, is what if the things that are important to us in our life, what if the things that comprise our tastes, artistic tastes, suddenly didn't exist anymore? What would that mean in your life if things weren't there anymore? That's what this movie made me think about.
I like that thought.
It's a very you know, cute and charming premise. Ed Sheeran plays himself in this movie, and he hears about this guy who's playing these songs that he goes, you know, these are beautiful songs that you're writing. You have to come on tour with me. And he goes on tour with Ed Sheeran. Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night Live plays his manager and starts managing this struggling musician trying to make him into an international superstar with these songs. And it's this movie is about what happens to this guy as he's going through these internal struggles, in addition to reminding us how timeless these Beatles songs are and how much a part of our lives these Beatles songs are. And just even sentences like the Beatles, the bug or the car, that, you know, that even, you know, can mean anything and make you laugh. It's very cleverly written. It's directed by Danny Boyle. There is a young actor whose name is Hamish Patel, who is the struggling singer. Lily Collins, who is Phil Collins' daughter, is the co-star of this movie for a sweet little love story in it. I liked it very much. I gave it a Dean's List B+.
Oh, all right. Well, I need to see it. Is Kate McKinnon her goofy self, or is it a pretty straight role for
her? No,
she
is an over-the-top, Hollywood, obnoxious Hollywood-type manager, a pariah who, you know, is ready to chew up this guy and spit him out. You know, for her own financial benefit. She is very funny in this movie. And Ed Sheeran's, you know, kind of mocking himself. He gets into a songwriting contest with this guy. Okay, let's see who can write the best song right now. Who can write the best song? So Ed Sheeran comes up with a little something. And then the struggling musician plays, you know, something in the way you move, you know, some classic Beatles love song that blows everybody away. It's like, you are the most genius songwriter I've ever had.
It sounds good. All right, and for the horror fans out there, Annabelle Comes Home.
Yeah, thank God, because we don't have enough movies in the theater right now. Featuring kids' dolls possessed by an evil spirit.
Yeah, that's very true, because we have Child's Play that's out there right now. Isn't there one more that may have gone down
Beasley?
Mrs. Beasley.
That was thrown in for Bill Love.
Nice.
That would be a great spin-off.
Wow. Family Affair.
Hello, I'll take Obscurity for $200, Alex. Family Affair for $200.
Yes. Also, Bill.
So, Annabelle, which is... it's part of the Conjuring franchise.
Yeah,
that's like part of that scene, and it has no relation to Child's Play at all.
None whatsoever.
Okay.
Except that it's just a creepy looking doll. This is actually, believe it or not, the third of this Annabelle series of Conjuring and Annabelle. This is the third one now. Annabelle Comes Home is the name of it. This doll, I mean, it's not like it's wielding a knife like Chucky or anything. This doll pretty much just sits there but has the creepiest look on its face. The thing is that this Annabelle doll is, turns out, is a portal for evil. So wherever this doll is, evil is attracted to it and wants to. Exactly. Exactly. There could not be better musical notes to go with this. Wherever this doll is, bum, bum, bum,
yeah.
There is evil that follows and wants to steal your soul.
Oh, my God.
So the doll has to be kept in this special glass case. But wouldn't you know it, a friend of the babysitter in the house where this doll is being kept is snooping around the house and accidentally opens the glass case, and you guessed it, all kinds of evil is released into the world. And what happens after that really is kind of a very formula horror movie. There are a couple of funny moments in it. It's mostly just extremely formula and the kind of horror movie that you've seen 100 times before. At least it's not messy. It's not gory, bloody. Mm-hmm. It's more suspense-filled than anything else. So I give that one a Dean's List C+. Did you guys see Avengers Endgame?
Yes, I did.
I did not.
Wendy?
I got to see the one before that. What was that?
Infinity Wars.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little behind.
Only by a few years.
You know that's how I roll, Dean.
I do. That's why when I asked the question, I figured Jim probably did.
Yeah.
And you probably didn't. But they're going to put Avengers Endgame back in theaters this weekend with some previously unseen footage.
Oh.
So if you are a Marvel fan, if you're an Avengers fan, if you're crazy about this, they're putting the directors, Joe and Anthony Russo, have put some scenes in that you did not see before. And those will be in theaters. I don't know for how long, but I think they're trying to goose up the box office numbers a little bit to see if they can get it. Right now, it's the number two grossing movie of all time, and I think they're trying to get it to beat Avatar by doing this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm off tomorrow, so is Bill, so maybe I'll watch Infinity Wars tonight and then go to the movie theater to see Endgame.
Go see Yesterday.
Yeah, I really do want to see that.
It's really a very sweet movie. Really, very, very sweet. I mean, if you're in an action movie kind of mode, I'm kind of curious to see what these new scenes are that they put into Endgame. But I don't know if I have 3 hours to commit to this again.
Because
it was a long movie to begin.
Is it that long? I get theater ass anything over two.
Yeah, you're going to get theater ass plus now.
All right. Well, thank you, Dean. Have a great weekend.
By the way, it was my first radio name, by the way, Theater Ass. Back when I was on Fire Radio. Yeah, Theater Ass playing Taylor Dane for you, baby.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dean. Have a good one.
Thanks, Dean.
All right. Coming up, the stories that matter with Jen DeSalvo from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, WGN Radio.